This is the third in a series of five forums with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This forum is about infrastructure and took place at Hillary Rodham Clinton Children's Library Monday, September 24th from 6:30 to 7:30. This series of forums is presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1, UA Little Rock Public Radio. Michael Hiblin of KUAR News is the moderator. The next forum takes place Monday night, October 1st from 6:30 to 7:30 at Roosevelt Thompson Library on Rawlings Circle, and will cover the topic of education.
Tonight's format will be including opening introductions from the candidates, followed by several predetermined questions written by the League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and myself. The candidates have not seen tonight's questions in advance. And with that, we'll wrap it up with questions from you, the audience, then closing statements from each candidate. Everyone, please welcome to the stage your candidates for mayor of the city of Little Rock. Before heading to the stage, the candidates just drew numbers from a hat to determine the order in which they'll answer questions. That will determine the order of introductions. After that, candidates will rotate the order of who answers first. The first candidate is Frank Scott Jr. If you'll go first, you've got 1 minute to introduce yourself and discuss key topics of infrastructure.
Good evening. My name is Frank Scott Jr., born, raised, and I still reside in Southwest Little Rock. I'm a product of Little Rock Public Schools, an associate pastor at Greater Second Baptist Church, a banker at First Security Bank, a former senior advisor to Governor Mike Beebe, as well as a former state highway commissioner. As we are discussing infrastructure today, I'm uniquely capable to discuss this issue and lead on this issue from my time on the Highway Commission, as well as my time as a member of the Little Rock Port Authority, because infrastructure is more than just about roads. It's about true mobility and how mobility fluctuates as within transportation. But not only that, but housing choice, because infrastructure will always be the foundation of our city and how we will move our city forward. So I thank you for the opportunity to discuss our vision tonight.
Warwick Sabin.
Well, thank you. I'm really pleased to be here this evening to talk about infrastructure. This is a subject that I worked on at a very high level during my 6 years in the Arkansas legislature. And in fact, I passed a nationally recognized bill to create public-private partnerships that not only save taxpayer money, but make infrastructure projects possible when otherwise they wouldn't be. But for me, as we talk about infrastructure this evening, it's really important to remember that this is how most citizens in Little Rock actually interact with their government. This is about potholes, our streets, our sidewalks, our parks, our playgrounds, drainage issues around the city, even when you turn on your water or flush your toilet. And we depend on this infrastructure to maintain the quality of life that we have. But also, we need to talk about equity. You only need two eyes to look around the city to see the differences in the quality of infrastructure from one neighborhood to the other. And as mayor, I want to make sure that we're prioritizing needs in every part of the city and that everybody feels like they're being treated fairly and with transparency when it comes to how we address infrastructure.
Baker Curris.
Good evening. I'm glad to be with you tonight, and I want to ask for your vote. I haven't been doing that, and I want to make it clear that I do want your vote, please. I got my first introduction to infrastructure as an 18-year-old kid digging ditches and pouring concrete, and I've been involved with it ever since. Infrastructure is vitally important, and there are really six things we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about good urban planning, no matter whether it's water or sewer. We're going to then talk about good civil engineering, which is critical for proper infrastructure. And then the part we really need to focus on is, where do we get the money? Capital formation. How do we finance these things? That's critically important, something I really understand. Then how do we allocate that capital? Where do you put the money? That's just as important as everything else. Then you have to think about, how do you get the most for your money? How do you get the most for your money? I'm not sure we're getting the most for our money now. And then last but not least, how do we evaluate every single project so that the very next project is better than the one before? That's that continuous improvement process that I've employed in the school district. I've employed it in business. I've built a lot of streets and roads. I understand how it happens. I know how to finance them. And I really want the job because I think we can make a big difference in that area. Thanks.
Glenn Schwartz.
Hi, I'm Glenn Schwartz. I've been a teacher and a recycle center manager and a writer, journalist, petition canvasser lately. I have three issues I bring to the campaign every time. One is I'm going to decriminalize marijuana in Little Rock. The second one is I want to provide recycle services to all of the citizens of Little Rock, not just those that live in the houses. And the third thing I'm running for is to warn Little Rock that we may be in store for, you know, we've been undergoing linear growth for 30 years, but I think in the next 30 years we might be looking at exponential growth. So I think these last two issues I bring up, the recycle thing and the exponential growth warning, are what applies to the subject matter of infrastructure. So I'll get into more detail on that in a few minutes.
Frank Scott Jr.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Vincent Tolliver.
A little faux pas there, Mike. Hi.
Live events.
All right, so good evening, everyone. My name is Vincent Tolliver. I am thrilled to be here this evening with you in the Hillary Rodham Clinton Children's Library. And for those of you in the listening audience who have never been to this library, the structure is absolutely spectacular. On behalf of the People's Campaign, I am thrilled to be running for mayor of Little Rock. I am a former U.S. Democratic nominee for Congress in the 4th Congressional District of Arkansas, and I want to talk about infrastructure this evening from sort of a historical perspective, and that perspective will be drawn from the 2012 report from Arkansas Community Organizations, ACO. So you'll hear me refer to that report throughout this evening by the numbers, particularly as it relates to street and drainage need by wards. So again, it's a pleasure to be here this evening, and I look forward to this very important discussion on infrastructure.
Thank you. And now tonight's questions, which again all have to do with the theme of infrastructure. First off, we have discussed the Interstate 30 expansion, but remind us again your position. Do you support it in its current form? If not, what can be done to change it? And whether you can do anything to ensure that the final plan best serves the citizens of Little Rock and Central Arkansas. Mr. Saban.
Well, I don't support the current 30 crossing plan in its current form. And I want to make clear, you know, I do support replacing the interstate bridge over the Arkansas River, addressing the safety issues with the exits and the interchanges, because that's how this project was actually sold to the voters when we passed the tax. It was only after that that we were presented with this idea of going from 6 lanes to 12 or 14 lanes. And that's what I oppose, because I don't think it's necessary. I think it's expensive. I don't think it takes into account the future of transportation. I think it hurts the development of downtown in between the River Market and the East Village, and I think it doesn't take into account the fact that people want walkable, bikeable downtown environments, and that's what's going to attract people to our city and keep people here. As mayor, I have a seat on Metroplan. I have an opportunity to try to influence this project, especially if it's delayed through an environmental lawsuit. I also think it's important that for the future, when we know that 630 is liable to be widened between I-30 and University, that we have a mayor who understands this issue and will stand up for Little Rock.
Mr. Curris.
Thank you. I've written a lot about this, and it's a nuanced issue, especially where we find ourselves today here in September, because the project was actually approved by Metroplan in December. So as mayor, there's nothing the mayor can do to stop that approval. That's already happened. That bell has rung. So whether you like the project or whether you fought against it for a long time or whether you were ambivalent about it, the project has been approved by Metroplan, and Little Rock has nothing further it can do now. Litigation, and that's the realistic approach, okay? I'm just telling you how it is. That's not necessarily how I would have wanted it. But as mayor, what I intend to do, and you'll read it if you read the piece that I've written, is be in a position to make this as good as it can be for our citizens. In other words, make it bikeable. Make it walkable. Take that 17-acre park and turn it into something magnificent like a Central Park. Do everything we can to protect parking, downtown residents, and be in a position to do that as the mayor. Not out of a sense of shrill reaction to the project, but out of a sense of concern for our city, and that's where I am on it.
Mr. Schwartz.
I agree, Mr. Baker. This is a done deal. Let's just look at it as a symptom of what we are doing here. There is a traffic jam on the I-30 bridge every day, and it's quite dangerous to be driving over that bridge. The danger of being rear-ended is real, even if you take care of your own self on the car. It's a symptom of a suburban development like Los Angeles, you know, where we just keep spreading out and spreading out, taking a square mile and putting 1,000 little suburban plots on it. There's got to be a different mindset if we're going to create a great metropolis of the world here. And the key to that is all kinds of different mass transit and a different living environment. There are people living in taller buildings like down here what they built in the River Market District. Think of that with connecting mass transits, and more about that later. Thanks.
Mr. Tolliver.
Sure. Mike, I don't support the plan. The plan did not take into account the impact on small business owners in the city. I've talked to business owners downtown, and they are furious. Many of them who have had to uproot their businesses and go out to West Little Rock. It also didn't take in concern and consideration neighbors in Petaway and those different areas that are close to downtown, east of Little Rock, East Little Rock, East Village. They didn't take into account the impact for those neighbors and the quality of life that they will not have as it relates to this construction for I-30 crossing. So I don't think it was well thought out. I think it didn't take in account neighbors and businesses in downtown that it would impact, and so therefore I'm against that plan, and I'm not for it.
Mr. Scott?
I am clearly for the 30 crossing project. Here's the deal. When I became appointed to the State Highway Commission, the project was already approved from a Highway Commission standpoint. I showed leadership. Why? Because I understand my history. Before I gave full support, I wanted to make certain that the 30 crossing project was not 630. And once I realized that families would not be displaced because I have a mother who grew up and walked the streets of the 9th Street corridor, I gave my support for it. And why did I give my support for it? Safety. 125,000 people travel this regional corridor, and this is a state project. Quality of life. We listened to the concerns of the community. Hence the reason why we changed the project 17 times. Is it perfect? No, but it is really good. What did we do? Now we have an opportunity for a Central Park. Not only is it quality of life, it's economic development. We are now intersecting between I-40 and I-30, which are the most traveled interstates in the system, which brings forth distribution and commerce. Is there a reason why the Clinton Foundation located next to I-40? There's a reason why Cromwell, Cathead, and East End are right there as well, because of interstate access, economic development. But not only that, safety. We have to fix that bridge. We do not want to be Minnesota. And I think it's very misleading when people do not tell the whole truth about the 30 Crossing Project. And I think it's very misleading when people don't show leadership. Thank you.
We are speaking with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This is a forum focusing on infrastructure. It's the third in a series of five being presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, and the American Association of University Women, as well as KUAR 89.1. I'm Michael Heplin. Question two. Streets, sidewalks, and drainage are all issues that many areas of Little Rock have to confront problems with. How would you ensure that there is repair and maintenance of Little Rock streets and sidewalks? First, Mr. Curris.
Well, you can say you're going to insure that, but you got to get the money. We get about $20 million a year in our operating budget from our share of the county road tax and our share of the state gasoline tax. That's the only money that goes into our operating budget for maintenance of every road we've got. That's it. Now, we've bonded the 3/8 cent that we passed in 2011. Y'all remember that? The 2011 tax increase. That's been bonded, and we've been spending that money all over town in a lot of little projects. Go down 11th Street on your way out, and you'll see part of that. There's no assurance, Michael, that we can continue down the path we're on. If you look at our sales tax revenues and you look at what we're doing in that respect, our revenues are not keeping up with inflation. We've got to build a community where we can make things happen, make people live here, and build that pie bigger. Because we spend all our time focused on how we're going to spend the money, and nobody's focused on how to make this a town where people want to live and work. Because if we don't live here, they don't pay sales taxes here.
Mr. Schwartz.
Well, this is one of the reasons I got into the campaign, because I think some of the decisions and changes made by the previous administration or the current administration of Little Rock are just dumb. Let's take, for example, Louisiana Street in downtown Little Rock. Here they've taken the one-way street that could buzz you right by downtown with synchronized lights in less than a minute, and they took it and screwed it up. Now it's a lane of parking, one lane of traffic, another lane of parking right in the middle of the street, and a bike path and a sidewalk. This is an example of trying to do please everybody, and you end up pleasing or having anything of utility to anybody. You've got to decide as a city, do you want the lane of traffic, do you want the bike path, or do you want two lanes of traffic? And I would be for taking Louisiana Street back to a one-way street, because that's what some downtown suffers from. It suffers from moribund circulation. So I'm going to change some of the things of the previous administration.
Mr. Tolliver?
Sure. You know, the report that I referred to from ACO in the beginning is entitled Equal Does Not Equal Fair and Equitable, an analysis of Little Rock's allocation by ward of street and drainage funding. What that said is Ward 1 has the largest street and drainage need, topping out at $153 million, Ward 2, $110 million, and of course Ward 7, $175 million. The sales tax allocation that was passed in 2011 that Baker referred to, the 3/8 cent sales tax, is set to expire 2021. So the voters can expect the city to come back and request another sale increase. I would make sure that we prioritize the monies that we have now from that capital sales tax to the wards that need it, wards 1, 2, and 7. I want to make sure that those are the priorities, because the way that capital fund worked out is every ward gets about $8 million, and that's not equal.
Mr. Scott.
Every morning I wake up and I leave off of Chico Road and I travel to Ranch Drive in West Little Rock. And in my profession, I travel in and around this city and I see the distinct issues of what we have with infrastructure. In Southwest Little Rock, we have water, sewage, and flooding issues. In the South End and the East End, we have sidewalk issues. Some don't even have sidewalks. We have road issues in West Little Rock, and we need to make certain that we continue the efforts of what's going on in Canis Road, but also make certain that we provide for the growth that's going on in West Little Rock right now. In a Scott administration, we'll have a distinct infrastructure improvement plan, taking a page out of playbook out of the city of Rogers, where we truly know exactly what we need. Because if we really want to have transformational change as it relates to infrastructure, we need an infrastructure bond program that truly funds it so we really can support the growth of this city to make certain that we have a firm foundation for economic development. So we must make certain that every area of the city has its own distinct issues, but we have to put a plan forward to execute. Thank you.
Mr. Saban.
I think our infrastructure needs need to be prioritized by need around the city. We have real issues around the city that are significantly impacting the ability for people to enjoy a decent quality of life, to have the same amenities as other parts of the city. And as far as I'm concerned, we need to have more transparency and accountability in how we spend our money. Right now, we need to improve our contracting. We need to make sure that we have quality contracting, so when we're spending our city money in such limited ways, that we know we're not having to come back and resurface streets the next year. And we do need to look at our next bond issue in order to decide, you know, how we're going to prioritize all of these infrastructure projects in a way that really puts equity as the number one priority for the city and ensures that we're delivering quality infrastructure to every part of the city, to everybody.
This is a forum on infrastructure in Little Rock with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. Again, they are Frank Scott Jr., Warwick Saban, Baker Curris, Glenn Schwartz, and Vincent Tolliver. Our next topic is War Memorial Park. Do you think that this park should be reimagined for other purposes than golf? If so, what's your vision? If not, what's your argument for keeping it the same? Mr. Schwartz.
Fortunately, I've heard that question before, so I'm a little prepared for it. it's about taking the golf course out and making it a more general park. I know when they took the tennis courts out, I didn't agree with that, but once they put in the track with that it's well used by the people, I really thought that was a pretty good idea. So War Memorial Park is not sacrosanct. I think it's a neat golf course. But there is one thing I want to put there, and that would be, and this is my idea for the whole city, I want to put Faraday cages on the golf courses and at major bus stops and in pedestrian malls and stuff. I don't want anybody to be caught out in a storm and not have a safe shelter to go to. So my idea for War Memorial Park golf course and for all around the city is to build about 100 Faraday cages to protect the pedestrians, the tennis players, and the golf players from lightning strike.
Mr. Tolliver?
Mike, to answer your question, absolutely. I'd love to see the park reimagined as a green space for the community and the city. I don't think that we need a golf course there. I think that we need walking trails. I think we need spaces where families can come with their children. I think we also can utilize that space for people on their lunch breaks. They can walk there from UAMS. They can come over from UA Little Rock. It needs to be a dedicated green space, because that's what that's one of the things that our city is liking, and we can do a much better job. So the answer to your question is yes, I'd like to reimagine it as a park, a green space, and not a golf course.
Mr. Scott.
Yes, I would like to reimagine War Memorial Park, but I also would like to repurpose it. Here's the vision. Taking a page out of the playbook of Think Big Little Rock, I'm a member of the task force there of transportation. What I would like to see War Memorial Park is repurpose it from the 18-hole golf course to 9 holes, and then also include a regional sports complex that is going on with the new wave of sports entertainment as it relates with youth sports moving forward. But not only that, focus more on sports and arts for War Memorial Park, because the reason why I'm running is to unify the city. And War Memorial Park is a great opportunity to truly unify the city and focus on building bridges by bringing others across the city to War Memorial Park. And again, we want to repurpose it from an 18-hole golf course to 9 holes, focus more on regional youth sports complex, and utilize more arts and entertainments at War Memorial Park.
Mr. Saban.
Well, War Memorial Park is one of the best opportunities we have to really try to bring our city together. And I think that the process and how we do that is so important. I don't think we should predetermine what should be there, but we should approach the citizens of Little Rock to find out what they want to use, and especially the people who live in close proximity to War Memorial. It's a chance to bridge the interstate, to invite all of the neighborhoods close by to utilize a space. And I would say that, you know, golf in general is one of the most inefficient uses of space and resources of any sport that there is. And I've been learning a lot about other sports that are growing in popularity. Just the other weekend, I went out and I played disc golf out in Southwest Little Rock, because it's a sport that's growing in popularity. And if we ask people what they want, we're more likely to have people utilize these public spaces. And it's a real opportunity, as I said, to bring people together, to have a true Central Park, to make the most of our spaces, and to build faith back with the people of Little Rock that we're actually going to create public resources using taxpayer money that people will utilize and want the most.
Mr. Curse.
Well, if you go down there and you talk to the people that play that course, you'll find that it's just a little bit about golf and it's a lot about people. I sat on a task force 10 years ago that discussed that park, and we have ample rounds of golf available at our other municipal courses, and we spend a ton of money on golf. So I don't think it's necessary to continue to play golf there. I also don't think, and the land's simply not conducive to some sort of massive earth-moving project to have flat fields there. It's ideally suited for a nice interactive park where you can have fun with your family, but it has to be connected to neighborhoods. Just to build a park and sit it there is not what we're looking for. We want a city that's bikeable, that's walkable, with a wonderful park. Coleman Creek Creek is beautiful. The geese are beautiful. The Spray Park is well occupied. But the thing we need to keep in mind is that there are very kind people who have built their social lives and their support networks around that golf course. So I think the best way to deal with them is to talk to them earnestly and see if there's a way we can accommodate them at another course and then move forward with a community-based plan to make that into a wonderful utilized space.
We are speaking with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This is a forum focused on infrastructure, the third in a series of five being presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. Little Rock residents often express frustration with the city's biweekly recycling pickup, the lack of city recycling services for apartments. Do you think we need to do more? First, Mr. Tolliver.
Absolutely, we need to do more, and it's inexcusable that you can put your recycling can outside of your house and, you know, it may stay out there maybe 2 to 3 weeks, even after you call 311 to report it. That's inexcusable. We have to do a better job. So I certainly support a stronger policy where we do a better job in recycling, not only for homes, but also in parks. I think one of the things that we don't do in the city enough is we don't have enough recycling bins located in neighborhoods around the city. We need more of that. We need more garbage cans in different neighborhoods because that gives residents an alternative to throw it in the garbage can as opposed to on the streets. So certainly that would help. I am for recycling in whichever ways that we can and to implement programs that would encourage residents to recycle. So I certainly am a strong advocate of recycling and stepping up our efforts to recycle within the city of Little Rock in some very creative ways that perhaps we hadn't thought of before.
Mr. Scott.
Yes, I'm definitely for figuring out more creative ways to recycle in the city of Little Rock. We must understand that recycling plays a huge role for our environment, but not only for our environment, for the cleanliness of our city. We have to move more from a two-week pickup process to a one-week and figure out as we are dealing with those particular vendors that are setting forth that process to make certain that it's efficient and effective. But we also must make certain that we move forward to apartment complexes, but not only apartment complexes, around the overall community to make certain there's a greater focus on recycling and overall cleanliness of our city. So I will be a staunch supporter for it. Thank you.
Mr. Sabin?
Well, here's the thing. We've been behind most other major metropolitan areas in the country when it comes to recycling for a long time. And now we're actually going backwards, because if you read the paper, we're actually going to soon not being able to recycle glass in the city of Little Rock. And, you know, this is a real problem because in so many cities, they have already had commercial recycling for many, many years. And when it comes to residential recycling, a lot of cities have moved beyond, you know, what we have all the way to being able to have, you know, composting material picked up. And we have a lot of entrepreneurs in Little Rock who are actually pioneering some of those recycling efforts, especially when it comes to picking up organic material for compost. But, you know, we need to not only catch up with the rest of the country, but we need to try to be a leader in this area. We're the natural state. The city of Little Rock can be a leader for the state of Arkansas. And we have a real chance to do better. And I know that, you know, the right now the recycling challenges that we're facing are said to be financial, but if other cities around the country have figured this out, we can certainly figure it out too. We need better leadership to make it happen.
Mr. Curris.
Yeah, we need to be a sustainable city. Recycling is just one aspect of that. We need to be more sustainable. Composting is easy. If you want to come over to my house, I'll show you how to do it, and I'll show you what's in the garden to prove it. It's really wonderful way to live. Live small. But it's a whole community effort. Our compliance is terrible with our recycling. That's half the problem. About 40% of the stuff can't be used because it's contaminated. And all of that is, we've made some strides. We've got a sustainability commission. I would like to heat that up and make that a different and better and stronger group, really advocating for our city so that we can become known as a sustainable city. We've got beautiful amenities here, so much to offer when it comes to sustainability, even this nice building. But I tell you, it's going to take a community effort with a lot of leadership, a lot more compliance. We all agree, I think, in this room that recycling is a great thing, but the community's not bought in, because otherwise we wouldn't have so many problems. And I want to focus on that on a broader scale.
Mr. Schwartz.
Well, I mentioned in my introduction that I have been a recycle center manager and a recycle center owner. I consider the recycle program we have here in Little Rock to be a fake recycle program. The objective is not to generate a whole lot of material for resale on the open market. The objective is to collect a $5 tax on every house in the city. And while waste management is doing that, the rest of the city in apartments and condos and lofts get no recycle services whatsoever. So we could at least restore the program where, like, the Krogers, and I think they had one right over here at War Memorial Park, they had recycle bins where people from whatever kind of thing they live in could bring their stuff there for recycling. But recycling is really a part of waste reduction. And this is another thing I'd like to look into. I mean, you go to the Krogers and you buy laundry detergent in a big old plastic pail that is non-compressible, non-biodegradable. In the Southwest Little Rock, we can still buy it in a bag at the Mexican stores that takes up like a 1 square inch in the landfill. Thank you.
This is a forum on infrastructure in Little Rock with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. I'm Michael Heplin. If you're listening to the radio broadcast, we're at the Hillary Rodham Clinton Children's Library here with a packed room. We're going to move now to audience questions. The first one comes from Kevin Cabrera. What is the most important infrastructure improvement Little Rock can make? What will give us the most bang for our buck? First, Mr. Scott.
I think the first infrastructure improvement project is we have to have many different infrastructure improvement projects in our city because we have many different issues. Again, I go back to having a clear vision by having an infrastructure improvement plan that addresses each area of our city. Again, in Southwest Little Rock, we have water, sewage, and flooding issues that have to be addressed. In West Little Rock, there are a tremendous amount of road expansion issues that need to be addressed. But not only that, in the South End and the East End, we have to have more sidewalks. But not only the sidewalks, we have to figure out a coordinated housing solution for the debilitated homes that are in those areas as well. And so we have to have a coordinated plan, and we first have to have this infrastructure improvement plan that will eventually lead towards having a bond project to make certain that we move forward. And so that's what we need as we move forward to address true infrastructure issues in our city, because there's not just one important project, because every area has an important project, and it needs to be coordinated with the sound funds to move forward.
Mr. Saban.
Well, it's true that when you pick one priority, you tend to make other people upset. And I'm going to take that risk and say that, you know, I think the one thing that we can talk about for our entire city is the question of mobility. I think that one thing that holds our city back is the fact that you really have to own a car to live in this city, that you have to own a car to get to a job or to get to school or to take your kids to school. And wrapped up in that is the lack of sidewalks in so many neighborhoods around the city, the lack of, you know, a trail system, the lack of abiding by our complete streets ordinance that we adopted quite a while ago, but that we really haven't put into practice in a good way. And I think one way you bring a city together is by addressing mobility and connecting neighborhoods and giving people freedom. That's the most important thing. When you have to own a car to live in somewhere, that's a tax. We can reduce the cost for people, make it possible for kids to walk to school, for people with disabilities to get around our city, and we need to do better.
Mr. Curse.
The single most important thing we need to do with respect to infrastructure relates to financial management. The needs are immense. We have $1 billion worth of needs, so I'm not going to be able to tell you specifically which little project or big project is the most important, but I can tell you one thing without a doubt. If we don't build a better system of financing these projects, nothing matters. We'll never get caught up. Part of that is we need to revitalize the central city. I've written a great deal about that, where we have roads, sidewalks, streets, curb, gutter, water, and sewer sitting in front of vacant lots, generating no tax revenue, no revenue for the utility. We've got to fix that. We've got to build a city where the infrastructure that we have is utilized so that we get the revenues from that. And then we have to build a city where people want to live. And I've written about it in my revitalization piece on the website. That's the key. There are always all these needs, but somebody who's got a background in finance, banking, business, bond management, and construction like I do needs to get on this job.
Mr. Schwartz.
It's a basic change in attitude. Well, I've been here in Little Rock for 30 years, and I've seen the city grow from 160,000 to 180,000. Strictly linear growth. I put the hypothesis before you. What happens if Little Rock has to grow from 180,000 to like 3 or 4 million people in the next 30 years? Who has a plan for that? And that's why I think that a change in attitude of how people are going to come to Little Rock, how this city is going to grow exponentially, where instead of going suburban sprawl like Los Angeles or something, then instead we try a metropolitan village concept with a high-density city and then high-density villages going out, kind of like what they have at the River Market over here. You know, 10, 12-story buildings where 20 or 30,000 people could live in a small area. The rest of the land could be made into park space and bike paths and sidewalks. It's the basic change in attitude of how we're going to build a great city here or not.
Mr. Tolliver.
Thank you, Mike. Kevin, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked it, and I'll try to answer it directly. Sidewalks. Arkansas has been ranked as the third most obese state in the United States. And I think sidewalks goes a long way to help with that issue, because if people have sidewalks, they can get to and from their neighborhoods and walk in mobility in a fashion that they're not able to do now. And it also cuts down on chronic diseases. So a city that has adequate sidewalks helps with mobility, it helps with obesity, and it also helps with chronic diseases. So, Kevin, thank you for your question, and my very succinct answer is sidewalks.
Thank you. Our next question from the audience comes from Andrew Carberry. Why is closing the loop on the Arkansas River Trail vital to the city's development? And there are parts of trails that don't connect yet. So first to Mr. Sabin.
Sure. Well, actually, I had the pleasure of participating in a walk audit of the river trail in the area that is most challenged last week. And it's the area kind of by the Dillard's corporate headquarters. And one thing we learned in that walk audit is that so many people who come to Little Rock who want to utilize the river trail for recreation or other purposes are sent over to North Little Rock, because the trail is complete on that side. So people go over there and they end up eating and drinking and shopping, and they're literally told by people in Little Rock, don't come to the Little Rock side, go to the North Little Rock side. We have got to close the loop. We've got to do it also to make sure that if we've invested so much in this resource on the Little Rock side, you know, we're making it so that people can't utilize it. We're making it so seniors and kids are put in a very difficult, unsafe position where the trail, you know, does not actually connect and operate, and there's no way, if you go do what I did in that walk audit, that you'd want to cross Cantrell there. And so we need a leader who's going to fix this situation once and for all for the betterment of everyone in our city.
Mr. Kurse.
Thank you. I'm on those trails every day. It's on there this morning. But we have to close that loop for a couple of reasons, and it has to be done in a practical way. It doesn't have to be a bunch of headbutting, but it's very dangerous. When you come swinging around under the viaduct and you want to make your way onto the downtown Little Rock side, you can either go up by Episcopal School, get to the top of the hill, and elect to go right. That's very dangerous. And then hit the phone pole that's right there if you've ever been on that ride, or you can make a dash across the river and then take the Little Rock side, which is cleaned up right now. But that's just part of the problem. We've got all sorts of plans for this. We've got to get in motion. It's got to be urgent. This is a real problem in Little Rock, because if you live where you can get to the river, you've got all sorts of biking opportunities. But if you live in the central city, you don't. That's not fair, and that's not right. We've got a plan for a Southwest Trail. We've got a biped coordinator in the city now. We've got all these plans, but now it's time to get someone as mayor who knows what urgent means, and this is urgent.
Mr. Schwartz.
Yes, I would agree they need to close that loop. But let me use that as an example. This is a very popular, like a tourist attraction that people can bike for 10 or 12 miles along the river in a circuit like that. I think I kind of want to generalize that, and that I don't believe in the bike trails that are just like painted on the pavement. I don't think that works at all. I want to see separate bike trails. I know if I'm riding a bike, I'm really scared that somebody behind me in a car is going to lose control or be driving drunk or just, you know, have a chip on her shoulder, and because a bike has no chance in any kind of collision between a bike and a car. So separate bike paths, more than just the river loop. I want to see them going everywhere to ULR and to every high school, every junior high. And these new villages that I'm planning will all have, like, bicycling and pedestrians as the primary means of transportation inside the urban environment.
Mr. Tolliver.
Thank you, Mike. It's imperative that we close the loop. I also was on that walk audit with Warwick, and Stacy Tierney from BACA, Bicycle Association of Central Arkansas, did a fantastic job. We started the walk audit in front of the Arkansas Department of Heritage, and we continued it past Dillard's. And what we learned is people aren't participating in that particular part because of safety reasons, and we are also losing money. We're losing economic dollars because when tourists come to Little Rock and they want to take the Arkansas River Trail, well, guess what? They're being told to go to North Little Rock because it's safer and it's more thorough. So it is imperative that we close the loop, one, for safety, and two, because we're losing money, so economic reasons. So it's very, very important, and I support closing the loop 100%.
Mr. Scott?
Yes, I support closing the loop. We have to understand that we have to also respect the property owners at the same time. So we have to have a very pragmatic and a compromise as we move forward to show that sense of urgency and how it really affects not only the community, but how it can be a huge economic development tool and a quality of life offering that we can increase more tourism to our city because we have a great parks and trails system. But in addition to that, we also need to make certain that as we're closing this loop, we have to continue to support the current bike ped program that we have, figure out ways to increase and expand that program, but also make certain that we have a bike share program as well. But in the meantime, of always doing that, we still continue have to focus on sidewalks throughout our entire city and make certain that there is a true offering for everyone in the city to participate in the biking programs that we do have moving forward. Thank you.
We are speaking with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This forum is on infrastructure. It's the third in a series of five presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. I'm Michael Heplin. Next question comes from R. Bell. Should impact fees be charged to help offset infrastructure costs? And why? First, we go to Mr. Curris.
Well, most people need to understand that when a new subdivision is built, say out west or anywhere, the contractor builds those roads at the contractor's cost, and all the water and sewer lines are extended at the cost of the developer. The fees that are generated then go to the utility, whether that's Central Arkansas Water, which is, of course, not managed by the city, or whether it's the wastewater utility, which is likewise not within the city. But so impact fees can be, if they're justified, they can be considered. But in a regional area like ours, if we add to the cost of development by impact fees, then what we'll find is that we will throttle development. If North Little Rock doesn't have them, if Bryant doesn't have them, if Cabot, Conway, BB, Searcy, you name it, Sheridan don't have them, we have to think of the impacts there because those impacts are dramatic. I don't think anybody should be forced to cover anyone else's costs. The cost causer pays. I did a lot of work at the Public Service Commission. I understand those concepts, but it has to be done on a regional basis if it makes sense.
Mr. Schwartz?
Let's talk about the biggest impact fee, which is the tax that you pay on gasoline. And I support making a region-wide, citywide, countywide, region-wide gas tax to not only fund the highway improvements, but also to fund mass transit. It seems like every couple of years the city is scratching its head trying to figure out how to fund our mass transit system, and that's just the buses that run. And with my concept of the metropolitan villages, we're going to be building a lot more, like, futuristic mass transit systems. And, not all of my mass transit systems are futuristic. I have one idea that a roller coaster would be an excellent mass transit system between, we could build the first one between, the president's house of UALR to UALR itself, and that would be a heck of a fun way to get around. And the other thing about impact fees in regards to gas taxes, it encourages conservation.
Mr. Tolliver.
Arbel, that's a great question, and I will offer you our campaign email to give you a more thorough answer once I've had a chance to look at it and research it. TolliverLittleRock@gmail.com. TOLLIVER, LittleRock@gmail.com. We will research the issue and get back to you in 48 hours on a response, because I don't know enough about it to give you a coherent response this evening, but I'm certainly willing to look into it and get back to you. Thank you for the question.
Mr. Scott?
As a banker, I understand that impact fees will have a huge impediment on the developers and builders of our city that are actually growing our city and helping to create sales tax revenue for our city as well as property tax revenue for our Little Rock School District. We have to get our Little Rock School District back as well from that standpoint. So on a justified basis, I think it's something that we can look at, but I do think it will be a huge impediment to the growth of our city, and we don't need any more stagnant growth in our city as we're moving forward. We have to continue to increase the jobs in our city, and we increase the jobs in our city by making certain that we have developers, we have builders that are always working, always producing to create sales tax revenue for our city.
Mr. Saban.
So these issues don't exist in a vacuum, and I think one of the biggest complaints that I hear from people on all sides of this issue is that we have a lack of planning in our city. There's no sense of where we're trying to go as a city when it comes to zoning, when it comes to all kinds of issues. We need a master plan for the city of Little Rock. Impact fees need to be considered as part of that, but it needs to be quantitatively calculated to figure out, you know, if we're going to apply a fee, why we're doing it, and if and when it's justified. But certainly we understand from experience that it does cost the city money to continue to extend services out when we could be incentivizing infill development in our city, which is, quite frankly, just a lot cheaper and a lot more efficient. And we need to ask developers, what would it take for you to put, you know, something in, you know, closer to downtown or closer to the center of the city than continuing to sprawl? Because sprawl costs us money. We've learned from other cities around the country that it costs them money too. We need to be smart. We need leadership that thinks ahead and that plans and creates a level, equal playing field that everybody thinks is fair and creates expectations that everybody understands.
We are talking with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This forum is focused on infrastructure. The next audience from the question comes from Carolyn Shermia, I think. In talking with officials at Rock Region Metro, they say that to add or change routes in Little Rock to the bus system and suburbs, it would take additional funding from the municipality. The current routes are based on 27-year-old patterns, the maps. Would you support funding changes to Rock Region service? This question will start with Mr. Schwartz.
Well, I think kind of refers to the last question I just answered. I think that we need a stable funding for mass transit, and I think that could come about from the gas tax. I don't ride the bus that often. I usually ride the bus when my car is in the shop or by between cars or something. It's a pretty good bus route that we have. I always wanted them to, like, shorten their lines so that it's a more direct ride. I hate it when they have to go a mile down the road to try to pick up, you know, one or two extra passengers. But Rock Region Metro is, you know, it's not going to be the focus of my position as your mayor. They have their own board. They have their own management. And I think they're doing a pretty good job. What I'm concerned about is providing them with some stable funding, and I've already mentioned that will come from an increase in gas taxes.
Mr. Tolliver?
Colonel, that's a great question. It's one that we've thought a lot about, and also we've reached out to Rock Region Metro with a request for a meeting based on the idea that we need to look at these outdated and antiquated routes. One of the things that I'd like to see Rock Region Metro do is become more compatible with the Ubers, because when you have a route that has been in existence for 27, 30 years, no one really when you look at the buses that go across the city, the buses are not full. So what I would support is smaller buses that are focusing on neighborhoods, focusing on the wards 1 through 7, and move residents around their neighborhoods more than across town on these long routes. I think that when you combine that and take some of the longer buses off the streets and then focus on some smaller buses, you would increase your ridership. The other thing I think we can do that we haven't done enough of, I think we need to ask businesses to incentivize their employees taking the buses, for example, offer bus passes, discounts, so that the ridership can increase.
Mr. Scott.
I want to applaud Rock Region Metro because they're doing their best to really change with the times. As it relates to transit development and transit orientation. However, they need more funding. We have to have a serious conversation here in the city of Little Rock about our commitment to Rock Region Metro because most of the ridership happens within Little Rock and North Little Rock. We have to look and make certain that the ridership becomes more reliable and dependable. And right now, it's just not. And that's how you increase ridership, by having a dependable route. And as we move forward and making certain that we're going to have that funding forward, and we're going to really challenge Rock Region Metro to make the changes, which they're doing their best to, but they also have to have the funding as well to make it more reliable. But we also have to figure out from a business perspective, how do we invite more to the central part of our city through transit-oriented development? That's what we're seeing in a lot of cities like Atlanta and Dallas and things of that nature, where you have bus rapid transit to create that reliability and the dependability. But from a business perspective, you have this transit-oriented development as well to increase the ridership.
Mr. Saban.
Sure. Well, we have a chicken and the egg situation right now when it comes to public transit, because if we don't fund it adequately and create routes that people want to use and that are dependable, then obviously you're not going to have the users that you want to have to sustain the operation. And, you know, I was very much out front campaigning for the last ballot initiative to increase the funding. I thought the plan was good. I spoke at the press conferences. I stood on sidewalks with a sign campaigning for it. And as mayor, you better believe I'll be for really expanding Rock Region Metro to the greatest extent possible. You know, last week a news station in Houston did this report where they sent one reporter in a car on the interstate and the other reporter in a bus to see who would get to the destination first. And guess what? The person on the bus got there first. And Houston has many, many lanes of interstates, much more than we do. And again, we can't consider these issues in a vacuum. We're better off investing in public transit than trying to expand interstates, because it's more efficient, it's more reliable, and in the end, it's the kind of city that most people are gravitating to.
Mr. Kearse.
Well, there's several things we need to talk about when it comes to this. First is urban densities required if you're really going to have mass transit. We're going the exact opposite direction. That's the issue. So if you want mass transit, if you want better public transportation, then you need to focus on urban density. That's key, because the money's just not out there to do a whole lot more than we're doing right now, unless we're willing to cut something else, because our budget, we've already just cut our budget this year once. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, the point I really want to make is, it would be foolish for me, and I've managed some pretty big organizations, to run to Rock Region Metro and start telling them how to run the railroad. What I would do if I were the mayor would say, I'm here to help you. I want you to give me advice about how I can help you. I believe in your mission. I believe in what you're doing. I think mass transit's critically important, and I think people need to get around in our city. How can I help you? The mayor's not going to be the Wizard of Oz and doesn't have a big bag of money.
Well, for our radio listeners who stumbled onto this broadcast, we're talking with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor, and it's time now for closing statements from each of the candidates. Please keep this, try to keep it focused on infrastructure. First to Mr. Tolliver.
Well, it has been an honor and privilege to be with you here inside the Hillary Rodham Clinton Children's Library this evening, and also to be a part of the listening audience. You know, infrastructure is very important. We need to take it very seriously, but we also don't need to lose focus on which wards needs what first. We have studies that have already been done, so we don't need to reinvent the wheel. What we do need to do is pay attention to studies like the Arkansas Community Organizations, and we can attack the wards 1, 7, and 2 who have the greatest needs and make sure those wards are developed in a way that they should be. Now, we can look at also sidewalks across the city. I think that we have already discussed or already mentioned earlier that sidewalks are key and is a top priority as it relates to mobility, as it relates to decreasing obesity, and as it relates to chronic diseases and also decreasing chronic diseases. So sidewalks are really a key way to assist with that in terms of chronic diseases. My name is Vincent Tolliver. On behalf of the People's Campaign, it's been an honor and privilege again to be with you this evening. And please consider us when you're voting November 6th. In fact, early voting October 22nd.
I think we 22nd. Need to cut you off there. Mr.
I'm
Scott.
Done. Thank you.
Mr. Scott.
Thank you. To truly understand infrastructure, one must have a keen understanding of the entire city and the differences of the city and what each part of the city needs to make certain that we have a true vision for our city. And as we move from a true vision for our city, we must connect our city. And that's where infrastructure plays a role by serving as a firm foundation to connect our city, but also to increase its economic development. But once we move from that connection, we also have to make certain that we have a sense of urgency and understanding the financials of what needs to take place to truly improve the infrastructure, whether it's sidewalks programs in the South End and East End, whether it's roads in West Little Rock, or whether it's water and sewer in Southwest Little Rock. It all has to be coordinated. It all has to have a plan. It all has to be funded. But we also have to make certain that as we're moving from this vision to this connection and to this sense of urgency, we have to execute. We have to have a mayor that's going to be focused on executing all of this as we move forward to truly connect our city. And that's what the whole goal is with infrastructure, is to connect our city and to focus on economic development, because that serves as a firm foundation.
Mr. Saban.
Sure. Well, my wife Jessica and I love to take walks all over Little Rock. It's our favorite thing to do. It's how we catch up at the end of the day or over the weekends. And we do it in every part of the city. So, you know, we'll go out and walk at Two Rivers. We'll walk in Southwest Little Rock. We'll walk in all kinds of different neighborhoods. And so it's given us a sense of sort of the disparities that exist in all parts of Little Rock. And I'll never forget, at one point right after we had passed that sales tax for infrastructure, we were actually walking in the Heights. And we saw the big orange paving machines show up on Country Club Boulevard. And I remember saying to Jessica, and this was long before I ever thought about running for mayor, I said, boy, you know, that'd be the last place I would send those machines, not the first place. It really bothered me, and it bothers me to this day. And I want to make sure that we're actually thinking in terms of the areas of greatest need and really achieving equity in our city, because, again, you can see it with your own two eyes, and you need to have a mayor who understands that, who feels it profoundly, and who's willing to actually do something about it.
Mr. Curse.
Well, first off, I do want to remember to ask you for your vote. Today I went down to Crump Park. How many people know where Crump Park is? We spent $1 million down in Crump Park out of this latest bond issue, and nobody in here even knows where it is. It's beautiful. Huh. It's just west of Arch Street off of 33rd. Beautiful park. That's the kind of thing I'll do as your mayor. And I talked to everybody who was in the park. I didn't just go down there and wander around. I asked them how they're doing, what's new, do they like the new park? The answer was yes. And when you leave here, go on 11th Street. Go out, go south, and then hit 11th Street. You'll see two piles of trash, and you'll see curb and gutter on one side of the street and nothing on the other. I've ridden my bike on 11th Street a lot. That's what I'll do as your mayor. And I've got something that I really know how to do. That's finance things, organize things, get a lot of bang for the buck, get people pulling in the same direction. I'm not an engineer, but I can manage people, and I can help people and bring out the best in them. That's what I want to do for the city. That's my skill set, and I'd love to have your vote.
Glenn Schwartz, you get the last word.
Well, just like Mr. Curris here, I think I should ask for your vote first thing. I am Glenn Schwartz. I am a legitimate candidate for mayor of Arkansas. Mayor Schwartz, be with you. I've described the three issues I'm concerned about and brought me into the campaign: decriminalization of marijuana in Little Rock because the state legislature didn't do anything about it, recycling for all of the citizens of Little Rock, and I want to warn you about the growth pattern that Little Rock will be facing the next 30 years. I am not the candidate of the future. I am the candidate from the future. I have come here from 2055 to warn you that the destiny of Little Rock is to double its population every 5 years for the next 35 years. And if that doesn't come about,
You know, if the oceans don't rise and people are just happy where they're at, it wouldn't hurt to have a plan. That's what I offer you, a plan whereby Arkansas and Little Rock, the capital of the state, could undergo exponential growth and we would become a major metropolis of the planet.
And with that, that concludes our debate on infrastructure for the city of Little Rock. Please give the five candidates for mayor a round of applause.
This has been a forum on the topic of infrastructure with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. The forum was taped Monday night, September 24th at Hillary Rodham Clinton Children's Library. It's the third in a series of five forums with candidates for Little Rock Mayor. The next forum is Monday, October 1st from 6:30 to 7:30 at Roosevelt Thompson Library on Rawlings Circle. It will cover education. This series of forums is presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1, UA Little Rock Public Radio. You can find the audio recording of this forum at KUAR.org.